Good news for Africa, say the experts. Growth is healthy and broad-based, fueled in part by infrastructure spending, domestic demand, and trade. Angela Lusigi is an economist and policy advisor for the Regional Bureau for Africa in the United Nations Development Program.
A lot of people, when they think about growth in Africa, they think it's only driven by mineral wealth or oil-exporting countries. But what we find in our report is that even those countries that are not considered resource-rich are still growing effectively. And this is mainly because of their agricultural sector, but also growth in services and a little bit of growth in manufacturing.
The report found that Africa's main foreign commercial partner is Europe, which accounted for nearly 40% of African trade, while 25% was with Asia and about 12% with North America. This year's African Economic Outlook notes that African countries traded $81 million worth of goods among themselves in 2012, and that such trade is growing faster than the continent's exports to the rest of the world. In the decade ending in 2010, inter-African trade experienced over 13% annual growth. Much of that trade is in light manufacturing of such goods as textiles, clothing, leather, building material, farm implements, and wood products. Lusigi says there's also strong domestic demand for manufactured goods, including television sets, phones, and other mobile technology. She says many of these products can be made in Africa. According to the report, two regions, East and West Africa, are leading the economic expansion with over 6% growth. The report attributes growth in part to lower inflation, particularly in energy and food prices, and to prudent macroeconomic policies by African nations. They include efforts to reduce deficits by cutting spending or limiting its growth and improving tax collection.
Well, I think one of the things that the report says, and the underlying macroeconomic framework is in place, and a lot of countries have balanced their budgets, they're not having unsustainable debt, they're managing the exchange rate. And right now, a lot of countries are putting a lot of focus in borrowing to invest in infrastructure. And this is happening not just for oil exporting countries, but even countries that are not considered resource rich. So as far as the macroeconomic policies and frameworks goes, there's been a lot of change in the last couple of years, such that we now have a framework where, broadly speaking, a lot of countries are managing quite well. And the difference now, the next step is saying, how do we translate this stable macroeconomic framework into inclusive growth that touches the lives of people? Because one of the things that we are seeing is that there's a lot of inequality still. So as much as we're talking about growth, we have to see how that growth can impact all people and not just one group of people.
The report says external inflows of cash to Africa have remained stable or are growing. Official Development Assistance, ODA, estimated to be about $55 billion, remains an important lifeline for poor countries that lack sufficient foreign direct investment. Remittances from Africans abroad have remained healthy. They have rebounded since the economic downturn in 2009 and are expected to reach about $67 billion this year. Remittances are now the largest single external flow of funds to the continent and an important contributor to education and healthcare expenses. Following close behind revenues from remittances is foreign direct investment, currently at nearly $40 billion U.S. dollars. The report predicts that with sustained interest by investors in manufacturing and services, FDI could be more than $54 billion over the next 3 years. Henri Bernard Solignac-Lecomte is the head of the Africa desk at the OECD Development Center in Paris.
We also see a rise in greenfield FDI, you know, into some light manufacturing, some agro-processing, and also some market-sinking investment of people who are, for instance, putting together infrastructure for distribution. So you have you know, the mass mart investing in Eastern Africa, for instance, should signal that investors increasingly recognize Africa not only as a repository of commodities, but also as a market.
The report says a decade of strong growth has reduced poverty in sub-Saharan Africa, with the number of people living on less than $1.25 per day falling from nearly 60% to just below 50%. Continued growth, it says, depends upon the ability of countries to participate in so-called global value chains, as South Africa has done with manufacturing car parts. It also depends on creating an environment that attracts investors and a workforce with the skills that contribute to global manufacturing. I'm William Eagle in Washington.